The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 7 minutes after 12 midday. Man in Line's on till 1:66, 1368. Your direct line to the public of the Isle of Man. Public comment, public debate, whatever's on your mind, get in touch. Apart from calling, you can also email studio@manxradio.com, text 166177, or email studio@manxradio.com, and the WhatsApp's working as well. Well, obviously, TT is very much in the news after what the Chief Minister's been saying.
We have, for over 100 years, run this race. There will be a full review.
That's what's going to happen after some debate this morning, some talking in Keys. Also, the first-time buyer schemes are going to be renewed. First Home Choice and First Home Fixed initiatives will be changing if all goes ahead. We'll be talking about the buses, TT, lots more. If you heard Julie Edge yesterday, Education, Sport and Culture Minister, talking about schools on the Isle of Man, the shortage of teachers, also what COVID's been doing to schools, and also the future of all of our swimming pools, particularly the oldest pool, the Southern Community Pool in Castletown. Any thoughts on the matter, then by all means get in touch. And she also talked yesterday about why an off-island company was best placed to look at the future of our pools on the island. And also, do you remember, she talked about the flumes and whether, well, they're not finished yet. That's really the top and bottom of it. Having proper support available for marshals who've had to deal with a serious incident at the TT is hugely important. Now, the IOM, TT Marshals Association, believe that, and of course they offer help for any volunteers who may be affected by witnessing or responding to serious incidents. Craig McHugh is the Chief Marshal, and Craig will be on shortly to tell us what happens and how marshals are supported. Lots of comment in already on the text, including a message. Well, KFC's opened. I don't know whether you've been trying to get down the Peel Road. Either way, from the Peel end or from the Central Douglas end, but it was Interruption City last night. Terry said, I wonder how much CO2 was pumped out into the fresh air on Peel Road yesterday for all those people queuing up for an hour for a basket of chicken from KFC. And I wonder, with the price of fuel, how much did that basket of chicken actually cost when you factor in the cost of fuel? Well, plus ça change, plus à la même chose. Do you remember when McDonald's opened 25 odd years ago? Is it 1998, I think, McDonald's opened? My word, there was a key. I think everybody, the entire Isle of Man went to McDonald's when that first opened all that time ago. But any more, anything else you want to talk about regarding KFC or McDonald's for that matter? Let's go to Craig McHugh anyway, Chief Marshal, explaining what assistance is made available to Marshal volunteers should they need it.
So what myself and the TTMA, with the help from the Manx Motorcycle Medical Services, who do all the paramedics around the course, and with Gareth Davies, he's the Chief Medical Officer up at the hospital. When there's been a serious incident, myself and my colleague David Denteth are normally called to the scene. We will speak to the marshals. And the idea then is we give them our information. We tell them that we're there for them. And we always keep in touch with them because of the information that they give us. And then what we would do is arrange for them to go to the hospital to meet with Gareth and a clinical psychologist to be able to talk to those over what they've seen, how they deal with it. Because one of the things we've noticed in the past is when marshals are dealing with these incidents, they're going away and they've got no one to talk to. And I think we've gone past this stage back in the 60s, 70s and 80s where people could just talk with their friends and deal with it that way. We need to make sure that we've got professional help there available. I just want to make sure that the marshals have everything that they need to do their job effectively and correctly. And it's one of the things that we've done over the past 2 years. We've looked at the training that we do for the marshals. Moving forward, we make sure that they have to do 2 online modules that we've created. Now, everyone has to do these modules. It doesn't matter if you are the clerk of the course or a new marshal, even myself. We have to do these online training modules, and that shows competency, that you can do the basics that we're asking you to do. And that's where the training starts for marshals. And then the next time, their training starts is at trackside. This is the second part of the training. So what we do is we put them in a place where they are with a group of seasoned marshals. We'd never ask any new marshal to do something that they're not happy with. We want them to get the benefit of what it's like at roadside, because it is quick. You know, there are some places that are nice and slow, like quarter bridges you go around, but then you've got the fast sections like going through Ramsey and places like that. It can be quite
Craig
quick.
Craig McHugh, that is, Chief Marshal, talking about assistance and help for volunteer marshals. The belief of the Isle of Man TT Marshals Association, just dealing with serious incidents. We'll move more on to TT in a moment. Howard's back now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. I don't know whether you heard me before, but say when McDonald's opened up many years ago, there was somewhere, I think it was a quote, it had been about 3,000 people on the, you know, on the first day. I say it's a sad reflection of modern eating habits. But also before, just KFC, Starbucks, etc., people were concerned about exactly what happened yesterday, about the blockage down the traffic lights, etc. And the government said, oh, there'll be no problems, no problems. Well, if you put an area like that on a traffic light system, they were even talking about changing the traffic lights to accommodate the area. But that's not what I come on about. I was going to come on yesterday, but I forgot Juliet was on. But at the moment, and it was on 3FM, it was on their news, there's an important piece of legislature to be discussed in the next, or in this parliamentary session. And again, it's proposals for changes to the legal quantities for sales of intoxicating liquor. And I downloaded one of the originals, and this is going back, this is how long ago it is, November 2012, the proposals from the Office of Fair Trading. And now we've had 2 governments in the meantime, and we're on our third one now, and they're looking to change the quantities that served. And now, this is not just in pubs, it's everywhere that sells alcoholic liquor. And they're proposing to reduce from what has always been a standard here on the island of 1 fluid ounce. Now, I'm old enough, and I don't know whether you will, but when we had the 40-ounce bottles, they used to go on the optics, and the 40 fluid ounces was the measure, and you got 40 measures out of it. The same with the smaller bottles, the 26 fluid. Of course, they've gone metric now. But they're looking to reduce the quantity served through the optics to the English measure. Because the 1 fluid ounce was the traditional Manx measure. Well, that will give you only 25 millilitres. But a fluid ounce is minuscule, it's a drop of 29 millilitres. So it's about 16% less you're going to get for your money. And that is not just one drink, that'll be every drink, and everywhere that has an optic, restaurants, bars, nightclubs, pop-ups, and this is going back to 2012, maybe even before. And the interested parties, they're all the different people with the breweries, etc., and I think the breweries are pushing for this because it's a 16% increase in their profit on a bottle of spirit.
You don't think they drop their price accordingly?
Well, I'll leave you to work that one out. But I doubt it. But on the introduction and purpose, it says here, also in part by the need to promote sensible drinking. Now, that is a sprat to catch a mackerel. Let's make ourselves sound good and responsible. Drinking and events such as wine tasting and beer festivals. Well, if they're promoting these, why would they want to reduce the quantity that's sold? So it's farcical on that account. But also, on the bottom line of this paragraph, it says, whether or not any such changes would be supported by consumers is open to debate. And so there is a case for undertaking this initial public consultation before any changes are considered. I've not heard of any public consultation on such changes. This is just going to be declared is, as, and was, and we will be getting... Well, I don't go to pubs. I don't bother with them. But there's a lot of people do, and a lot of people are going to be quite literally robbed of 16%. They're not going to get... But also, they're making a suggestion here of retaining the pint and the quarter pint, and proposing the introduction of 2/3 pint as legal quantity for sales of beer. In other words, you're going to get short measure again. And they're crying about not being able to get the optics. How are they going to measure out 2/3 of a pint to be legal? So this is proposed in this present government at the moment to change the legal quantity. And it is a legal quantity. It's not something you can just say, oh, well, that's near enough. You have to have this, the optics. And their story is that they can't get the fluid ounce. But Ireland has a different measure. Scotland has a different measure. England has the 25 milliliter, which they introduced many years ago. And now the breweries and various other people within the drinks community are wanting to reduce the Isle of Man measure down to the English measure.
This has come up a few times on Man in Line, and I think the conclusion's always been that it's a solution to a problem that doesn't exist.
Yes. It's stretching a point a little bit far, but I've got a list of direct consultees here. It's a document you can download, and it's from the 2012. It's the Isle of Man Office of Fair Trading, but it gives a list of all the people that's interested in. And there's nowhere in that is there a consultation with the public. They go right the way down through and Chamber of Commerce, Leicester Forum, Leicester Court, Bushies, Hedden and Brearley, all the different breweries, Cassatown, Angelica Society, even down to the chemical services, Gellings. But nowhere in that anywhere does it say that the people who are consuming this and paying for it are going to be consulted. So our present government should start to rethink this and stop advertising that there's our difference that makes the difference. I know friends of ours used to come over from Northern Ireland, and they, because our measures were large by English standards, well, not large, larger than English standards, they, being in Ireland, had a larger measure again. They would have doubles here. So, in essence, you're going to be ordering a double to get, an, you know, what you would consider in your mind, a normal drink. So the brewery are going to sell twice as much.
I wonder whether that will pass, though, Howard.
Well, let's put it this way. There's a lot of powerful people on this list. You've got the Camra. You've got the Ale Drinkers Society, the Doghouse Brewery, Apple Orphanage, Hedden and Brearley, Bushies, the Licensed Victualers Association, the Licensing Court, and it goes on. There must be, I don't know, 15 of them here. All, and the government, the Law, Chamber of Commerce, Law Society, these are all people, a list of direct consultees.
Okay.
But nowhere has the public, who are going to be the losers in this, because it's, what do you call it, it is proposed, excuse me, but the sales of wine, well, wine, excuse me, they're a different kettle of fish. But beer, sales of beer, 1/3 of a pint, half a pint, 2/3 of a pint, or multiple of half a pint. And it says here, note, that quarter pint is not prescribed legal quantity either in the UK or on the island. It makes interesting reading.
Okay. All right, Howard, we appreciate
so
that.
It's something that the public of the island once it's passed in law, that's all they'll be getting approximately 16% less for their books than what they did the day before.
All right. Thanks, Howard.
You take care. Bye
right,
now.
Good to talk to you. 22 minutes after 12. A note in from David, who said, regarding sidecars at the TT, I tried to text in earlier, but it wouldn't send. Anyway, on the subject of sidecar racing at the TT, of course, my heart goes out to all the competitors, family and friends following the tragic event at this year's TT. Our sport comes with an inherent high risk, and as with all extreme sports, if it goes wrong, it can go wrong in an extreme way. I love the sidecars as much as I love solo machines. I feel they're an integral part of the event and shouldn't be dropped from the program. I do feel, says David, sometimes they get a raw deal regarding track time prior to the event, though, and this needs addressing. May I suggest that when you're having discussions on sidecars, that you invite a few of the teams over to the Isle of Man, along with the teams who already live on the island, and hire a bus and go around the course together so you can listen to their opinions and their expert input from the competitors themselves on each section of the course and help you make the correct call. I, like many others, I'm sure, would hate to see the sidecars dropped from TT without a full and proper in-depth discussion with those who really know. Thanks, that's Dave McVeigh. Has been coming to the TT since 1968. We appreciate your point of view, Dave. Thanks for that. Even, do you think the government should support the TT when the chances of a fatality are so high? The question that was asked of the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, after five people lost their lives in this year's festival. This is what the Chief Minister had to say.
We have, for over 100 years, run this race on the Isle of Man. They've been part of the fabric of road racing, international road racing, and it is undoubtedly by itself a unique event. And every year that the event has taken place, as far as I'm aware, there has been a review of the event that people then move to improve the event in terms of safety for riders and of course spectators. What I would say is that there will be a full review, that there will be improvements made. I'm happy to commit that we will publicly make that commitment in terms of understanding where those improvements lie and how that will be impacted. And of course, at the heart of that is the riders themselves, and they really do need to be properly involved in these discussions. But we will do that for TT 2023, and TT 2023 will go ahead on the basis that we've made those improvements, I hope.
That's from the Chief Minister. If you want to have your say on changes to the TT schedule from next year, a four-week public consultation is due to get underway at the start of July. Chief Minister Alfred Cannon made the announcement in Tynwald this morning. The senior proposals, the proposals are going to see the Superbike race take place on what's normally Mad Sunday, while the senior race is pushed back to from Friday to Saturday. Superbike race on what's now Mad Sunday. Senior race pushed back from Friday to the Saturday. But what does a Sunday race mean for churchgoers?
Well, as I originally said, there is a consultation, Lord Bishop. I would urge you and members of the church community who wish to make clear statements to do so during that term consultation. But, you know, I can absolutely confirm that, you know, there would be no scheduled activities before 1 p.m. on that Sunday. So there would be plenty of, I hope, time for those who wished to visit church on that day to be able to do so. And perhaps just as a sort of comfort factor, I mean, we did have Sunday practices this year, and previously we have had Sunday activities in the past. I do understand it is disruptive for members of the church community, but it is just the one scheduled Sunday in this fortnight, and due allowance is being made for people to visit church in the mornings.
Well, the Lord Bishop had his say today. That was the Chief Minister responding to. We brought that up already on Man in Line, the thought of racing being on what was Mad Sunday. Text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com, 661368. By the way, GPs and practice nurses are at an education session tomorrow, so routine appointments are unavailable. from 1 till 6 tomorrow afternoon. GPs and practice nurses are attending an education session, so they won't be available. If you need to see a doctor urgently, you should call your surgery for an appointment with the on-call GP. Practices will remain open during tomorrow afternoon for patients that you to make future appointments and to order repeat prescriptions as normal. The education sessions have been going 10 years now, and they're to give GPs the opportunity to discuss developments in medical care and best practice and to find out the best way to enhance care for patients. Maybe a kind of talking shop and think tank where they get together. So that's tomorrow. No GPs and practice nurses will be available from 1 till 6.
Oh, hello, Andy. It's just Christine from Williston. I'm just ringing up about the bus situation, which is really very unacceptable for everyone. Hospital appointments, dental appointments, going to work is the top one as well. And there's a virus on at the moment, which is very high. And people are telling me they're waiting for buses and they're just not arriving. And I work downtown and I had to walk down to work yesterday.
Well, of course, that contingency bus timetable started last Friday, the 17th of June. The revised schedule reduces services in line with, how do they put it, current staffing availability. The revised timetable operates Monday to Saturday. The Sunday schedule should remain as per the current timetable. This is all due to high levels of sickness and COVID-19. I wonder how the bus situation is affecting you. Lots of comment in. Police need to close KFC, says this correspondent on 223, until a proven traffic management system is in place. I was stuck on the Peel Road twice yesterday, 25 minutes one way, 55 minutes the other day. What's going to happen when the other two franchises open? A message in also from Brian, who said, yes, of course, there is a funny side to KFC opening and everybody queuing for something that was available a while ago in Duke Street. Nobody seemed to go to. Well, that's your opinion, Brian. But the serious side is there's a fire station there. The fire and rescue authorities are there. So what's going to happen if that traffic chaos continues?
If the cost you're being quoted to sell your house are driving you crazy, it's time to see red. CG Red is the revolutionary fee-busting service that lets you sell any properties up to £350,000 for a fixed fee of just £750. That's the lowest commission on the island. And with all the backing of Cowley Groves, the island's leading independent estate agent. Visit cgred.im now for details. Buy, sell and save when you see red.
Me and the missus have been using Spectrum Windows for as long as I can remember. From the windows in our very first house to our new orangery, we've received the latest tried and tested products and a great service. Locally based Spectrum work island-wide and employ their own installers, so the excellent workmanship's guaranteed. Come to think of it, we've been married as long as we've been using Spectrum Windows. That's 25 glorious years.
Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
In our quest to remove all single-use plastic from our milk packaging, Isle of Man Creamery cartons, including the new 1.75-litre carton, are now 100% recyclable, made from sustainable and renewable sources. We're the first in the British Isles to offer these new large cartons, and you can pick them up now in local retailers or add them to your Isle of Man Creamery doorstep delivery. Plant-based cartons from Isle of Man Creamery. Better for the environment, better for you.
You can now fly with Loganair from the Isle of Man to London City up to 10 times a week, and London Heathrow up to 7 times a week, with 15 kilograms luggage allowance as standard and frequent flyer rewards.
Fly with me, I want to take you there, precious moments of this journey, to where homeward bound again.
Today at loganair.co.uk.
Caroline North is back on the Ross Revenge after a short break, and the TT on the Isle of Man. With our usual mix of music from the 60s to the early 90s, we got two new boys to join us on the Caroline North team with Stephen Foster and Kevin Peters. We have some great prizes to give away in the shape of some portable radios, and our sponsor for the weekend is Turton Tower Woodland Cafe. Join us live from the Ross Revenge here on Caroline North along with Manx Radio on 1368 AM.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. 28 minutes before one. Here's Peter. Hi, Peter.
Oh, hello. It's Peter Murcott back again. In connection with the question of Sunday road closures under the Races Act 2016, I think there's a slight misunderstanding, and I'd like to clarify it.
Okay.
I had input on this when they were considering the road races bill, and I've also checked out the current regulations and practices with the Transport Department. Now, the Section 6 of the Road Races Act 2016 talks about racing being allowed between 1:30 and 5:30 on a Sunday, subject to certain conditions. However, we've got to be careful just to quote those times, because in practice, and that's what the public is most interested in, who want to avail themselves of their freedom on a Sunday, the roads would be closed at least from 12:30 until 6:30. There's an hour, because the Act also has a provision for reasonable time. Doesn't actually use those words, but it amounts to that. Before and after the closures. So the roads would close at 12:30, although on the mountain course it closes as early as 11:20. So those are the times to keep in your mind. 12:30, the roads would be closed, irrespective of whether they're raced upon, and they wouldn't open till 6:30. Now, that will exclude evening services, of course, because most Sunday church evening services will start at 6:30, so you wouldn't be able to get to them if you needed to use those roads. There's another important point. Again, I queried this with the those who are in the know. Suppose a person or a preacher coming back from church finds him or herself on the roads on their way home, and it's 12:30. Then they would be directed off that road to the nearest available place. That could well send them many, many miles out of their way. And we know what petrol's costing at the moment. Furthermore, if they happen to be, let's say, just a mile or so away from their home, which is on the TT course, well, they wouldn't be able to get home. They'd be stuck wandering about in the island until after 6:30, when the roads would have opened again. Those things need to be kept in mind. And there's one other point. Sunday is a day of rest. It was granted from the dawn of creation, and it is one of those days which are used and recognised in the Isle of Man, or should be, as a day of rest, recreation and worship for Christians. What this in effect means is that they're taking what is a God-given right, which is recognised by the Human Rights Act as well, away from people on this Sunday, very irreverently called Mad Sunday, which is a bit of a black mark, I think, for the image of the Isle of Man. And if you look at the schedule is, they need a little bit of theological education here, because on the schedule, it has Monday as a rest day and Sunday as a race day. Now, if you just reverse those two round, you'll get it right. Sunday is the rest day, and make Monday the race day. It's as simple as that. And I urge everyone who cares about the spiritual well-being of the Isle of Man to make their feelings known, but to understand what the actual law is in practice. 12:30 to 6:30, you are not allowed on those roads, irrespective of racing.
Peter, do you think there's anything implicit in this move, or is it just a bit forgetful or uncaring? How do you view this move?
I view it as the fact that, quite frankly, despite the Manx National Anthem's 8 verses, and most people aren't aware of the beyond the first verse, which actually talks about the gem of God's earth, they've got these notional Christian elements in the Isle of Man, but they're not actually meaning anything. And the fact is that it is far more important that people should avail themselves of the church's ministry, especially when the TT, remember, is one where people put their lives at risk. They put their lives on the line, and sometimes, tragically, they get killed. If they go to church, they'll find about eternal life, and they'll find what life is all about. The Isle of Man should be encouraging that. It should not be intruding on the Christian tradition any more than it should be planning to introduce legislation to enable people to be killed off in certain circumstances, which is an issue that's going to arise before too long, and about which I shall make some comment later in the year.
And you'll be more than welcome, Peter. Thanks
that's
for calling.
That's very kind of you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, and Dodgy's with us on Man in Line now. Hi, Dodgy.
Hello, mate. Yeah, I'm not surprised so many people are queuing up to get to KFC. It's what the people want. I mean, if they'd run the business before, down at, was it Duke Street before, then, you know, they wouldn't have any of these issues because they had, what, 7 tills and 2 floors down there. And if it was staffed properly and, you know, they had 7 people on those tills and they had the upstairs running, you know, it would have been successful. But no, it was never run adequately, I don't think. And I think other people would say that as well.
Okay. Do you think it's going to calm down, Dodgy?
Hell no. To be honest, it won't.
Okay. You've not been stuck in the queue, have you?
To be honest. I haven't been down there yet, but I will do where in due time, no doubt.
All right. All right. Thanks for calling, Dodgy. Appreciate it.
See you later.
All right, good. A caller just dropped a note in also and just said that they should be improving the curb painting for the TT course. Any thoughts on TT? Any thoughts on what's been said about Sunday being used as a race day? Hitherto, Mad Sunday and Senior going from Friday to Saturday. They've not said anything about the Senior race day bank holiday disappearing on the Friday, so we are to assume that that stays where it is. Have you got any crutches you don't need? There is an amnesty on crutches on the Isle of Man. There's a current international supply shortage of crutches. There is a shortage of crutches all over the world, apparently. So they're trying to recycle as many pairs of crutches that are unneeded on the Isle of Man so they can be refurbished and reused by patients who need them. In addition, apparently it's difficult to justify trying to source and buy any more pairs when they know there are lots of pairs out in the community that aren't being used on a daily basis. Have you got any unused crutches around? It'd be interesting to know any wooden crutches left over. I wouldn't imagine they can be refurbished. Manx Care is offering an amnesty on crutches. You don't have to explain why you've kept them all this time. They just want you to return unused crutches. They've got collection facilities at Ramsey District Cottage Hospital. Go to the Minor Injuries Unit. The Equipment Hut, at the back of the Southern Wellbeing Centre at Tyrosian in Port Erin, at Noble's Hospital Emergency Department at the entrance in Douglas, you can take your unused crutches, and the Western Wellbeing Centre opposite the Big Shoprite in Peel. If you could take your unused crutches back, they will be more than happy.
They got your whole house in their hands.
When you need scaffolding,
DPM,
on time and on budget,
DPM,
will beat any quote.
DPM, we do it all at DPM.
DPM promise to beat any like-for-like scaffolding quote by 10%. So when you need scaffolding, call the friendly, experienced DPM scaffolding team on 61 2000. T's and C's apply.
We do it all at DPM.
I'm just going over to Leo's.
What? You just went there this morning.
Obviously, she's heading there again. Ever since Leo's got lightning-fast fibre broadband, he's at the top of his game. With uber low latency, fantastic ping rates, nothing can get in the way of a good game. Think fibre for a broadband connection that is as fast as you are. Visit thinkfibre.im to check if fibre is available to your address or contact your preferred service provider. This message is brought to you by the Isle of Man Government's Department for Enterprise.
When you need a fitting memorial or headstone for a loved one, contact Manx Memorials in Peel. This long-standing family-run Manx company offer a wide range of granite and marble headstones and memorials, along with an island-wide inscription and renovation service. Manx Memorials skilled professionals will take the time to help you choose a suitable memorial, and we're proud to say we'll beat other local quotes. Call 843 861 or email matthew@manxmemorials.co.uk.
Due to driver shortages, Bus Vanin are currently running a contingency timetable. This means there'll be fewer buses on some of our routes, as frequency will be reduced. The changes will allow Bus Vanin to deliver a robust service during these difficult times, with a return to full service as soon as possible. In the meantime, find the contingency timetables online at bus.im or call 662525. And for real-time tracking, use findmybus.im.
Tonight on Manx Radio, join myself, Kiri Kermode, for a brand new series of Countryside. This week, I take a trip to the north of the island to find out what the Agricultural Department at Ramsey Grammar School have been up to lately. They recently held an open day where I caught up with students and staff about the recent delivery of bees and the importance of planting and growing their own food. That's all in Countryside tonight at 6 o'clock, and don't forget you can download the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mai, thanks for dropping by this lunchtime. Brian's with us now. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Andy. I'd like to say that what Peter Maycott said is perfectly right. I mean, he's a good guy and he knows exactly what he's talking about. But what I'm going to say, there is no need for racing on Sunday. I mean, I'm not a holy person, but I think it's disgusting. And people saying, well, 20% of people said about, you know, not be able to get there on the Saturday and all that. I don't believe the government is telling the truth here. I think half the trouble is people can't afford to come here anymore because of the ridiculous prices that's getting charged. But I am in total agreement with Peter Maycott. I don't think he should be racing on a Sunday. And as I say, I'm not a holy person, but I myself don't think it should be happening.
Okay.
It's as simple as that. And I think it's a step backwards to be racing on a Sunday.
All right. We appreciate that, Brian. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. 16 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Lots of comment in on emails and texts in today. Lots of litter, by the way, left on Peel Road yesterday. The KFC has opened. Can you imagine that? It's a drive-through KFC has opened on Peel Road. There are also a couple of other franchises which I don't think are open yet. Traffic was dreadful, says Tony, on Peel Road last night. Also, removing the left filter lane from Paul Rose Bridge side is a massive mistake. It's going to be a problem for a long time to come. Obviously, KFC, perfectly legal, welcomed by an enormous amount of people. Of course, there's been KFC before, but now there's an even bigger one, and it's a drive-through, and it's right by a very busy junction by the Paul Rose Bridge on Peel Road. A note in just saying regarding the TT changes, Texter 223, Alf Cannon said, all teams have been consulted regarding the changes for next year. As team owners, we've not been consulted, and could speak for at least 66% of other teams. They haven't been consulted. 2 weeks of TT is long and stressful, and it is expensive. To lengthen the event, I don't think will work, says that anonymous in from a texter. While Julie Edge referenced the tender process, she didn't confirm the cost of the swimming pool review or the budget likely to cover costs. We need an open and transparent government. Is it a fantasy? Says, gee, that was Julie Edge on yesterday talking about this company that's going to be looking at our public pools on the Isle of Man. All of the pools are going to be looked at and what the strategy is going to be for the future. It always goes without saying that the Southern Pool is the oldest pool. It started in the 1970s. It was built. The other pools are newer, bigger. Obviously, you may say better. Ramsey Pool, new. NSC, Peel Pool. So we'll see what happens. And Julie Edge also referenced the pool at Ballacameen High School and what may happen to that. It hasn't been open for a while. We'll see if we can drag some of that Julie Edge contribution from yesterday in just to see. Racing on Mad Sundays to prevent accidents on the open road. No figures on deaths resulting from accidents of the 30-plus people flown off the Isle of Man to Aintree, says Texter 365. That's James. Thank you, James. Got your second one with your name on it. Thank you for your input. What happens if senior race day is postponed for any reason? I think it's a crazy idea to hold it on Saturday instead of Friday. By the way, I had a KFC Over 50 years ago, says Jude in Ramsey. Is that enough? Pastor Meyer, regarding the KFC traffic chaos, where were the police? No sign of them, says Andy. They weren't inside at KFC, were they? Was no thought to given to have an entrance for KFC from the Bowl car park. I think there was a plan at one time. I was on the Peel Road yesterday, says Jeff. It was a terrible. The fire engine couldn't get through the traffic there. Why can't the government put a cap on what food retailers are charging? Not acceptable, except a few days of food shopping is increasing. Outrageous. There are some words there. Thank you, Mrs. Martin. Didn't quite get them all, but Steve, as I'm led to believe, churches are generally open 24/7. The doors are always unlocked for the public to come and pray. They certainly used to be anyway, so why can't the churches change their service hours to accommodate churchgoers? Lots of other places do. Clubs and businesses have to do it. Why is prayer specific to a Sunday, says Steve in Douglas. Regarding the change of race schedule for next year, comments have been made that supporters couldn't get the ferry crossings this year that were suitable in 2022. Surely going to be the same for 2023. Also, a lot of people need to be back in time for work the following Monday, says this texter 083. What's wrong with the existing race schedule? Well, hopefully this time next year there will be a brand new boat, the Manxman. Have you seen the photos? They're on at manxradio.com. Look on the news pages. Photos of that boat. It's been launched. They're fitting it out in Korea as we speak. It has got a very stubby nose. Take a look at it. Plans are going before Tynwald to alter the first-time buyer scheme on the Isle of Man. Fiona dropped me a note in, Fiona in Bala Beg, and just said, what's exactly happening? Is it happening or are they talking about it? Well, plans are going before Tynwald next month. If approved, it will see alterations to the initiatives, which are the first home choice and the first home fixed initiatives. Chris Thomas is the infrastructure minister, and he tells us what's different.
So essentially what's been adjusted is the income thresholds, the house price thresholds. In fact, they've been abolished for one of those schemes, and we hope that the schemes that are current will become available to more people to help more people to own homes. And at the moment, we've got more fundamental review ongoing, which we'll report on by the end of the year. So I think it's good news for people who are looking to purchase the scheme. And by, if Tynwald approves it by August, we'll have a new scheme in place that will rule out fewer people because of the household income or their individual income, and also the prices involved for the housing will be more in line with market prices.
Will the scheme go far enough to help?
No, it won't, by implication, in as much as it might not, or not necessarily no, it won't, but it might not, and that's why we're reviewing it more fundamentally. So across, they've moved away from these schemes to what's called a mortgage guarantee scheme, and I'm on record as saying that's one of the options that we're investigating. There are other alternatives, more fundamental rent-to-buy schemes, and they're all what's under investigation. So it will help more people. Will it help everybody who feels themselves not helped? Not sure as yet. That's why we're doing a more fundamental review.
What else can you do as the DOI minister to help solve the island's housing crisis?
I'm continuing as both as DOI minister and also as chair of the Housing and Communities Board, and I hope that we can have a central government policy response to housing across government. And my being in as minister of housing will build on what Minister Crookall and Mrs. Sharp started in DOI, taking that forward with officers to get DOI to a place where they can complete what they started in 2014.
Do you remember last year before the election, all the hustings, all the candidates talking about their proposals, their manifestos for the future? Housing was all over it. And first-time buyers, it seems, have been, some first-time buyers have been left behind by those, the fact that the property market may be racing away. Well, the property markets have somewhat cooled of late, and may cool even more, depending on what happens with the cost of living and inflation. However, if you're stuck there or you know somebody who's stuck trying to get onto the ladder, let's hope that will help them. If you've got anything to say on that, thank you, Fiona, for that message just regarding what's happening to first-time buyers. Ali dropped me a note in on 013 just to say, my humble opinion regarding the proposed changes for our TT schedule, the clerk of the course advises we need to alter senior race day for the benefit of prospective new visitors. Why should he give any thought to how Manx people feel about our tradition? Senior race day. Friday is the final race day. Blue ribbon event when all Manx people get the chance to go to the races. It's our special holiday. It's a bank holiday tradition. I'm not prepared to lose or alter, says Ali. A message in regarding TT, and also regarding recreation. This is Dave in Onchan just says, 2 points in response to the restroom recreation and on Sunday. The dictionary definition of recreation is activity done for enjoyment when one is not working. Watching TT would come under the definition for TT fans. Why should the church stop TT fans' recreation? Also regarding the day of rest, perhaps emergency services are going to be available on the day of rest, or if people went to hospital. So if anybody needs petrol, they can get it on a Sunday. So is this not hypocrisy? Not everybody has a day of rest on the Sunday. So why shouldn't we change the TT? And says Dave, just to reiterate, there will be 3 passenger boats next year, not 2. Which can carry extra passengers. If Manxman and Ben McCree and Manannan are on duty, surely they'll be able to cope with a lot more people. Planners have got a lot to answer for, says Rob, about KFC. Should have gone somewhere like Eden Park, perhaps. It's a drive-through, after all, so will there be any passing trade? Problem isn't KFC's, says Paul. It's DOI. Bad planning for anybody wanting to travel out to Douglas on the Peel Road. It's going to be a nightmare. A note in from Kelly, who just said, listen, you talked about the pools. What did Julie Edge say? You weren't listening yesterday, Julie. Why is an off-island company being paid to review the setup of our regional swimming pools on the Isle of Man? Well, Julian dropped a note in yesterday. Julian called and spoke to the Education, Sport and Culture Minister Julie Edge on Man in Line yesterday. So why are we paying, or going to pay, a company from Bury in Greater Manchester to look at the pools on the Isle of Man?
I think it's the right thing that we are having this external review from all of the challenges that you've mentioned there. With regards to maintenance, does get carried out from funding from the department. However, these are independent boards operating the pools, and the local authorities do have the opportunity to increase their rates. None of the local authorities have done this for the pools for many years. The Southern have requested that, and we were prepared to bring that forward. However, it's a balance, you know, they have to balance their books. They're an independent board, and the department's subvention that goes out to the pools is the reason why we do need to do this independent review, and then the focus can be put around delivery of swimming facilities around the island.
Why do we have to have an external review? I mean, doesn't anybody know how to run pools on the island?
Yes, they certainly do. However, you know, if I got the NSC team in to look at the regional pools, there would always be challenges. I think it's right to get an independent body that's a professional in this field. I understand they might well have already done this in Jersey and possibly Guernsey. So I think it is the right thing, and the best thing to present to the people of the island is that review, and then decisions can be reached as to regional pools around the island.
Luton Council had one pool reviewed and it cost £75,000, and you're talking about multiple pools. So have you had a quote for how much this review is going to cost? Is this in the multiple hundreds of thousands, if that's the case?
So when we put an expression of interest out, it's all done through the procurement process of government, and that will have been dealt with by the department and the Attorney Generals. And they weren't the only people that come forward, I believe. There was others. So it will be the best value in what's required for this review on our island.
And Darren just said, what's going on with the flumes? Well, this is what Julie Edge had to say yesterday.
What's really disappointing is we need to make sure that contractors complete jobs for the people of the island, and that's challenged, and they continue to get that complete before, in my opinion, and this is my personal opinion, should they be carrying out other work works for government whilst there's so many challenges, and we need to understand what the challenges are for all across government and make sure that works are complete, because it's the taxpayer that pays for them and they should be there and available for people, you know, for the people to use.
Do you know what she was saying between the lines there? Have those contractors been doing other work before finishing the flumes? That was Julie Edge on the pools and the flumes. And the message in from Texter 262 says, I broke my ankle several years ago. I was told not to return the crutches as they couldn't be reused. I took them to the Red Cross, who were more than happy to take them. Things have changed. Thank you. 262, if you want to get your crutches back, your unused crutches, dusty crutches, unused in the cupboard in the hall, Ramsey District Cottage Hospital, the equipment hut at the back of the Southern Wellbeing Centre in Port Erin, Nobles Hospital Emergency Department at the entrance, or the Western Wellbeing Centre opposite the big shop right in Peel, they need the crutches. There's a crutches amnesty on the Isle of Man. Later on this week, a Green Future programme with Paul Crane MLC and the businessman John Curtis. Do you remember, he was the guy who went to COP26 almost as a privateer. That's on Thursday, talking about our green future. And back tomorrow with an open line, thanks to producer Barry Redfern.
WINT